Numbers 17, verses 1 to 11. God vindicates his order. This is a strange passage, the budding of Aaron's staff. God demands that the people, the tribes, the Israelites, get these 12 staffs, these 12 staves from these tribes. And each man puts his name on his staff. On the staff of Levi, Aaron had to write his name. And then on all the other staffs, the head of the other tribes. They were placed in the tent of meeting, and the one that sprouted was the one that God had chosen. This was put a stop, says God, verse 5. I will rid myself of this constant grumbling against you, that is Moses and Aaron, by the Israelites. So this is what they did. And of course the miraculous sprouting of Aaron's rod and proved that he was the chosen one of God as the priest among the Levites and among the Hebrews. And they should keep this rod that had blossomed and borne fruit. They should produce almonds. They should keep this rod in the special place, because before the front of the testimony, to keep it as a sign to the Israelites. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. It was an extraordinary event, of course. So it's old covenant, it's extraordinary, it's symbolic, yes. Means nothing to us, of course. It means a lot to us, a tremendous amount to us. It's very important. This was very important in Moses' day. But it has principles carried over into the new covenant, which come for us. Now, what do we see here? Well, it was a miracle. Only Aaron's rod, the Levite rod, Aaron's rod among them, blossomed. And it was putting an end to the constant grumbling. I will rid myself of it. I will bring it to rest. I will put it to sleep. I will bring closure here. I've had enough, says God, of all this murmuring against my ordinances, against my choice, against my law, against my covenant. And it was all by God's appointment. And it was kept there as a permanent reminder to be before the Israelites that God's order, God's covenant, God's law, you don't tinker with it, you don't play with it, you don't grumble against it. It must be maintained. It's Levi and it's Aaron in the Levites. So covenant is extraordinary, it's a miracle, yes. But God will have his truth, his law, his covenant maintained. Now let's come into the new covenant. Let's think about the law of Christ. Let's think about a few items of that law. Does Christ's law say anything about baptism? Does Christ's law say anything about the Lord's Supper? Does Christ's law say anything about the church, the ecclesia? Does Christ's law say anything about preaching? Does Christ's law say anything about discipline? Are these marks of the new covenant, baptism, supper, ecclesia, preaching, discipline? Did these things come into the law of Christ? Of course they do. They're written large across the New Testament. They're written heavily there. They're underscored again and again and again. We see the principles there of Christ. Well, that's only just examples of it. The whole principle of conversion, separation from the world, having been regenerated from death, given a new heart, brought to Christ, sinners brought to that position, formed into churches, baptism, the Lord's Supper, preaching, discipline, the growing in grace, the growing in knowledge and understanding, mutual fellowship, building each other up, witness to the world, evangelism, all these things come into the new covenant. This is what the new covenant is about. It's the law of Christ. We must not tinker with it. Baptism, supper, preaching, the church, discipline. We mustn't tinker with these things. We dare not tinker with it. We must not play with these things. And yet, my burden is that I see these things being played with, tinkered with, belittled or adjusted or of no consequence or less consequence than they should have, than I see in Scripture. What do I mean? Take baptism. At one time, men knew where they stood on baptism. Baptism was an issue. Did you believe in infant baptism, or did you believe in believer's baptism? Did you believe in baptism or regeneration, or did you believe it was a sign of what had already taken place? The Lord's Supper. Who could take it? When could you have it? How could you have it? How was discipline in the Lord's Supper? The ecclesia. What is the church? What should it be for? What is meetings are about? Preaching. What is preaching? Who can preach? What is preaching supposed to be? All these kind of questions at one time were very, very, very important. But I see, in my own experience, I see these things played down today. People don't know what they think about baptism. It doesn't matter here. The supper is more of a casual thing than I would like to see, as I see in the law of Christ. That's what I really mean. Preaching, their church, their ecclesia, all are being adjusted. In fact, people write books about it. We're re-engineering the church, they say. We're readjusting this. We're playing with that. We're tinkering with that. We don't insist on this anymore. There's a low regard for these things. They're not right and wrong anymore about it. It's of little importance or concern for many believers. All is adjusted. Well, let us learn from the almond rods. In the Old Covenant, God said the law of Moses is not the law of Moses, it's my law, he said, given to Israel through Moses. That law must be kept. And that doesn't mean the Ten Commandments, it means the whole system of Judaism as revealed at Sinai and so on. God insisted on it being observed. His covenant must be kept. This is why Israel and Judah both went into captivity, because they broke the covenant. They tinkered with the covenant. They adjusted God's law. And he would not have it. You see it here in this episode with Dathan and Korah and Abiram. Now that's the old covenant. Now come to the new covenant. It's not the law of Moses, it's the law of Christ. But the covenant of Christ. And the law of Christ, written in Scripture, revealed to us by his Spirit, in our hearts by the Spirit, in Scripture written, these things combine, and we must keep God's law in Christ, in the new covenant. God insists on it. He says, be ye separate, so we must be separate. He says this about baptism, and we must do it. He says this about the supper, and we must obey. Read 1 Corinthians 11 and see the risk of playing fast and loose with the supper. Read the Corinthian letter and see how the Corinthian church were messing up the ecclesia and what God said about it. God will not allow this. Let us learn from the almond rods. Let us learn from the budding of Aaron's staff. May God bless this to us. May we come back. May it not be too late. May we retrace our steps and get into the serious obedience to Christ in his covenant over all these issues in that new covenant. May God bless this discourse to us. For Christ's sake. Amen.